And I want to encourage you with these powerful words from John the Apostle in the 3 John verse 2. He says, Beloved, I wish, or I pray above all things, say all things,
all things.
Thou mayest what?
Prosper
and be in health, even as your what?
Soul
prospering. How many of you believe that your soul is prospering?
Yes.
Can I see your hands if you're on a growth track right now?
Yes,
you are. Well, you qualify for His provision. You also qualify for His ability to keep and maintain health in your life. That is a wonderful statement there coming from an apostle who knew the Lord very well, was very close to the Lord. And he says that it's God's will for you to what? To be provided for, to be blessed, but also to walk in His health. Now, we talk about health. We talk about three levels of health. First of all, is where you are sick and in need of divine healing. Say divine healing.
Divine healing.
And then there's a season of life where you seem to be doing just fine. And I would say this to most of you. Most of you have had good health most of your life.
Yeah.
Which means God has provided divine health in your life for years.
Yeah.
Maybe you just never stopped to thank Him for it.
Yep.
That's just like the world out there. They've been walking in health by and large by the grace of God and never stopped to thank Him for what they have. So there's divine healing when you need restoration. There's divine health when it's being maintained as a static in your life. Then there's divine life where God desires for His power to flow through us to other people.
All
right. In other words, everybody in this room can walk in health, but everybody in this room can help restore other people to health as well.
Yeah.
Not a joke, not some kind of a scam. It's the reality of the gospel. Are you here today?
Yes.
Now, the reason we bring this up is because a lot of folks for years have thought, well, healing really is just affected by one factor. And that factor is faith. And how many know we can't please without faith, God without faith? And how many know we can't receive without faith? But because it seems that all that's been emphasized is faith, we are implying to the church that there are no other factors that affect receiving from God. What I've learned over the past 20, 25 years studying this diligently is that there are more factors that affect our receiving from God, not just faith, but other factors that will impact you receiving from God. And you say, well, how am I supposed to figure it out? You're supposed to listen to God and find out if there's a factor that's affecting you receiving or ministering healing to somebody else. So I'm going to give you this list, and we're going to have a good time this fall. I said, we're going to have a good time this fall. We are going to discern the factors that affect our receiving from God and affect the ability of others to receive from Him as well. So you can just take a note here and just jot these down, and I'm going to dive into the first one today. The first factor is simply knowledge, revelation knowledge about the concept of healing, about God's nature, etc. You have to have knowledge. Hosea 4:6 said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And there are a lot of people out there ignorantly spouting things about healing and health and God's willingness to do it, and healing's passed away, and miracles are no more. They're spouting from a position of ignorance. Much like Rodney said, when they spout off about somebody believing God for something, they're doing so from a position of ignorance. And can I tell you something today? You're a child of God. You've got the mind of God. You don't have to bow your knee to somebody's ignorance ever, including on the message of healing. Knowledge is critical. Then, of course, there is faith. You're believing God, and you believe it's for you today, believing that healing is for you today, and that God wants to minister not just to you, but through you. And, of course, faith is a big one. Jesus used faith often as the reason someone did not receive, or that it was a block to somebody receiving from God. But faith is not the only factor that affects healing. Number three, there is hope. When you have on the inside of you nothing but an image of failure and sickness and disease and chronic fatigue and every kind of named disease and unnamed disease, and that's who you think you are, it's very hard for you to receive from God. But if we can push that image out of you and put a Bible image on the inside of you, then everything can change. An inner image of an eager expectation where your identity is not the sick one. Did you hear what I said? It's not the depressed one. It's not the discouraged one. It's not the defeated one. It's not the broke one. Can I have an amen? If we can shove that out, everything can change in your life. But I've known people who had a hard time receiving healing because in their heart of hearts, all they saw themselves as is the sick one. That's all they're ever going to be. Thank God they're saved. But they never knew the joy of being restored and walking in the health because that inner image was so prominent in their lives. Then number four is love. We know that faith works by love. You are not going to walk around as a belligerent, ornery, chip on your shoulder person and be able to receive and be able to be a vessel for God to minister healing through. Faith works by love. Say, faith works by love. And in addition to walking in love, we have to be people that show that love, show that compassion, just like God did. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He demonstrated his love. That's the way we have to be as well. You don't see much compassion in the hearts of a lot of people trying to believe these things, and it blocks them from that flow when there's no compassion there. Then, of course, there's our inputs, the things we put before our eyes in our ears. They slip into our heart, they come out of our mouth, and the cycle repeats itself. How many understand you can't put garbage in your spirit and expect to receive from God? That's pretty weak, so let me try that again. You cannot put garbage and junk in your spirit and expect to receive from God, and can't expect for God to use you in a powerful way. So inputs are critical. So somebody can say, well, all it takes is faith, and all day long you are feasting on junk. All year long you're feasting on junk. At the critical time when you lay hands on somebody, there won't be faith to release. That person can't receive when you've not been feeding yourself spiritually well. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Everybody say inputs. And number six is the will. The will of the individual has a lot to do with whether they receive from God or whether they want to receive from God. You and I assume that every person on their deathbed wants to be healed. Now, I'm going to avoid the temptation to jump into this one with both feet today. But even Paul said, I don't know what I want to do. I stay here, it's to your benefit. If I leave, it's certainly to my benefit. And this is what he said. I do not know what I will choose. You and I, because of false teaching, because of ignorance, because of lack of training in these areas, assume that you have absolutely no say-so as to the timing and the circumstances of your departure. And I'm telling you, just flat as I can, that if I want somebody to be healed, and in their heart of hearts, they don't want to, they want to go home. Don't sit there and call it a faith failure. It's not a faith failure. It's their will trumping your faith. Let me try that just one more time. No matter how strong your faith is, you have no permission at all to usurp somebody else's will on this planet. Mm-hmm. Say the will. Number seven is stewardship, specifically of your body. We're praying for healing and at the same time poisoning our bodies. And what we take in, what we drink, what we puff, how much we eat, what we eat. You know, I was just a baby Christian. Everybody say baby Christian three times. And I got spirit-filled after I got saved, and I walked into this Church of God in Christ church in Carbondale. Friends of mine went there, and they invited me, and they had this powerful black preacher come in from Detroit. Boy, he was really something else. And he began to preach on stewardship of the body, things like this. He began to talk about faith, and he said, there was one night, he said, I was so hungry. He said, I ate a whole box of donuts, a whole big bag of chips, and a whole liter of Coke, and I woke up in the middle of the night choking, and I was rebuking the devil. And right then and there, I had a revelation. The devil wasn't the fault that night. Now, some of you are thinking right now, would you please post the date when you talk about this one? Because I'm not coming. I don't want to hear. Say it with me. I do want to know. Say it. I want to know. So stewardship of the body is a factor. Boldness, or the word importunity in Scripture, is a factor. Shameless persistence. You'll find out in Scripture, when people just won't take no for an answer, it is powerful. It's a revelation of a lot of things, including their faith, but they simply are going to receive from God. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
And then you know number nine today, your words, the things that you say impact what you can receive from God. And you can't say, I want to be healed and talk sickness, disease, and death all day long. Because your words matter. Say it, my words matter. Say, my words affect my receiving. And there are a few others, but I felt impressed to deal with these nine during this season. And you'll look at it real quickly. You say, well, that's obvious now that faith is very, very important, but it's not the only factor in our receiving from God. And if we don't train you in all the factors, then we are not discipling you correctly. There are a lot of people that call themselves word people, faith people, and that's great. But all they're taught is one dimension of this life. Yes, faith is critical. Say it with me. Faith is critical. It's how we're supposed to live. The just shall live by faith. I did an entire faith school that lasted, it seemed like, forever. It's important. But so are these other factors. And you need to be trained in all of them and be sensitive to know what might be holding something up in your life or blocking something in somebody else's life. Not in a judgmental way, but an effort to help people. Are you here today? So let me just say for a couple of minutes where your knowledge should not come from. First of all, your knowledge of healing should not come from License to Wed and Robin Williams. It shouldn't come from the world or from Hollywood. They're messed up, aren't they? It should not come from your experiences. You do not codify your experience with ministering to the sick or your own battles with sickness, and that makes your great body of knowledge about how these things work. Because your experience is not on the same level with the Word of God. And a lot of people do this. They pray for somebody and they die, and somebody else dies, or they have a hard time, or Aunt Martha went through this, or George went through that, and Uncle Joe went through that. Then suddenly, that is how they determine what they believe. Turn to somebody and say, your experience is irrelevant.
It is irrelevant.
It is not holy writ, but it's difficult for people to see things and live through things and then still believe God for the hard things in life. Your religious training is not supposed to be the base of your knowledge. I will tell you this, over the course of these messages, you are going to have to unpack some religion on purpose and kick it to the curb. And not just religious teaching you grew up with from your, you know, mainline church, but even within the Pentecostal charismatic world, there is religion that is holding people back. Yes. Say, I'm willing.
I'm willing.
I am willing.
I'm willing.
And I'm obedient. You're going to have to get rid of those traditions that are passed down from family and from relatives. And your experience level is one thing, but sometimes people just say things just like they're true. You know, you'll hear these cliches all the time. You never know what God's going to do. Listen to me carefully. That's not the problem. The problem is you never know what we are going to do. God is very consistent.
Yes, he is.
You'll hear things like, God put this on us to teach us a lesson. Well, how long you had it? 42 and a half years. Well, haven't you learned your lesson yet? Has nothing to do with that. Some folks will say things like, well, God will get glory based on how you will deal with this and put up with this. No, God gets the glory with the deliverance and the victory. It's like saying, well, God gets the glory when a man fails into a sin every single day. Like, glory to God. No, God gets the glory when there's deliverance from sin and holy living. You see the parallel here? And God's not getting glory out of you suffering well, which is another man-made doctrine. Jesus suffered for you. You don't qualify. You will suffer through persecution and resisting the curse of the creep trying to come into your life, the things you've been redeemed from. That is your suffering. And persecution around the world is increasing, and it's increasing in this nation. Amen. So you won't necessarily live a persecution-free life. Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
But don't think that you're suffering for the Lord. There's one who suffered. It's almost blasphemy for people to say, I'm suffering like Jesus. You have no idea what he went through. No concept of that. So watch this stuff creeping into your thinking. God gets glory when a man gets delivered from sin. God gets glory when a man gets delivered from alcoholism. Yeah. God gets you know, glorified when he basically is setting somebody free physically.
Yeah. Yes.
Then there's the idea that somehow healing's passed away. I got reports a couple weeks ago, Tammy was here, that a lot of people walked out this door completely healed. I guess it didn't pass away.
Yeah.
Or apparently healing didn't get the memo. Say, he's still healing. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then my favorite, I've just got Paul's thorn. I've got a Paul thorn. Just like Paul had a thorn, I got a thorn. Read the scripture. Paul had a messenger of Satan. Nowhere in scripture is that terminology used to describe a physical infirmity. And yet that is how it is taught. That's why you have to be careful what you allow to get into your brain and thinking into your spirit regarding religious tradition and teaching. It was an angelos, a messenger of Satan. Say that with me. Paul had torment from a messenger of Satan. And I personally believe that that devil came after him nonstop trying to remind him of what he had done wrong. Just like he does with you sometimes.
Yes.
Aren't you glad for forgiveness and redemption?
Yes.
Aren't you glad your sin is not the devil's business?
Yeah. Woo. Yes.
And yet he's very good at bringing things up.
Yeah.
Like one man of God said, when he brings up your past, bring up his future.
That's right.
Yes.
Amen. Yes.
Yeah.
And by the way, Mr. Devil, come over here. I want to say something to you. Yes, I failed, but I have been redeemed. You, on the other hand, failed and there is no redemption.
Yeah.
I'll take my redeemed self to heaven one day,
yeah,
and you'll take your sorry saddle down to hell one day where you belong permanently.
Amen.
No, don't run away when it's getting good. Come back here.
Yeah.
You have to understand that the Word of God and religious teaching will often contradict, and you have to choose to go with what? What did God say? There's man's opinion out there, and they're everywhere. They're on TikTok, they're on Facebook, they're on YouTube, they're on this blog, they're on that blog. Voices telling you God doesn't heal anymore. These people are faking it and that's not true. It is true. Pastor, I served in Savannah, Georgia when Benny Hinn was just a young minister of the gospel. He came to that church just long before I went there, but they all told the same story in that church. He asked them to bring a handkerchief or some kind of a cloth that he was going to pray over those. And those folks brought, and there was a pile on the platform, just a pile of handkerchiefs and cloths. And he literally laid on top of them. Some of you are freaking out, but go to the Word of God and you'll find out people did the same thing with Paul.
Yeah. Yeah.
And where those handkerchiefs, where those items ended up, people were supernaturally healed. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Benny Hinn just dared to believe that God would somehow let his anointing abide. And he laid on top of that pile and he prayed over those. And they sent those out and they had people instantly healed, coming out of cancer, coming out of heart disease, report after report of how God honored that faith and ministered to people. It is real.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on, say it. It's not passed away.
It's not.
What's passed away is understanding and correct knowledge about how these things actually work. He's not done. He's just getting started.
Amen.
Before Oral Roberts went home to be with the Lord, he said, the Spirit of God told him that healing was coming back big time.
Amen.
Come on, shout it out. Healing is coming back
big time.
And that means in us, but also through us.
Yeah.
It shouldn't shock you to read and to understand and believe that they shall lay hands on the sick.
Yep. Right.
And they shall what?
Recover.
Who's the they? Call the preacher. Call the preacher. Call the preacher. No, they is you. Just so we can have the correct pronouns today. You. I saw a meme. There was a lady in her 50s in the meme. And the meme said, I identify as postmenopausal. And she said, my pronouns are, try me. Jesse DePlatis says that menopause means something very, very simple. Men, pause. Yes. You're going to get all kinds of opinion out there I don't want to give you opinion. I want to give you what thus saith the Lord. Not my interpretation, but line upon line, precept upon precept. He was a healer and he is a healer. And your knowledge has to be right. You can't pray out of ignorance. You can't live out of ignorance. You've got to know what he said. In other words, the knowledge we receive about healing must only come from the Word of God. Say it with me. The word only. Let it speak to you. There's a reason why they put blinders on race horses, because they don't want them paying attention to the horse on the right or to the left. They want to be out front and they want to win. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? And that's what you've got to do with this. Not looking to the culture, not looking to the world, not looking to religion, not looking to what grandma and them said, but looking only to what the Word says to get your knowledge. The Bible says of many people, they're ever hearing but not perceiving, always seeing but never perceiving. They don't understand the things they're hearing. They don't receive the things they see. They can't grasp them. Isaiah said this, and Matthew repeats it, lest they would listen, receive, and turn or be converted, and I would heal them. We have to convert ourselves in our thinking if we want to walk in this in greater measure than ever before. Is there anybody out here that is willing to let the Spirit of God convert them in their thinking?
Yes. Yes.
Now, depending on what your tradition is, you may have more converting to do than others. Some of y'all, this is all you've ever known, is sitting under the uncompromised Word of God. Isn't that a wonderful thing? You weren't taught to doubt. Hallelujah. Ephesians 4:18, Paul described these people of having a darkened understanding. We can't afford to have a darkened understanding in these days. Without knowledge, we'll be placed in a position of non-resistance to the devil, to that sickness, to the disease. And that is the devil's goal, is to put you, say it with me, the devil's goal is to get me in a position of non-resistance to the disease, to the sickness. And if I believe God put it on me, am I going to resist?
No.
Oh, no. If I believe it's teaching me a lesson, well, glory to God. If I believe it's passed away, I'm not looking to God for anything. It puts me in a position where I don't resist. And the Bible says, resist the devil and he will what?
Flee
from you. The devil doesn't like resistors.
All right.
How many want to ruin his day today?
Yeah.
Resist. Amen. You can say to yourself, you know what? Pastor hadn't gotten all nine of these yet. But I'm resisting. But what I do know, I am resisting this thing in Jesus' name, and it's not going to stay in my life.
Amen.
You say, if you pay attention to everything going on, you make doctrine out of your experience and what the culture says, what religion says, you'll be thoroughly messed up.
That's right.
You don't have to understand how everything went down. You don't have to analyze and figure out what variable affected this person and that person. All you have to do is just trust God's word is true. And that the knowledge you receive from the Word of God is true will set you free and set other people free. Does that make sense? It's not that complicated, but it's incredibly important that you move forward with a foundation of what is true rather than what is an error. Because it's too late for me. I'm already a believer.
Amen.
First week I was saved, I read through the Gospels, and I noticed something. Everybody that came to Jesus was healed. And he didn't afflict anybody with sickness or disease. That has to be explained. People in the world and culture will find something they see and say, well, that contradicts that, and make that their law instead of the sum total of the Gospels, which tells a story of a healer. Let me remind you, when you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. Say, when I have seen Jesus, I have seen the Father. So what about the Father? I'm going to give these to you, foundational knowledge on healing that you need, and write these down. I want you to write the scriptures down. I'm going to read them for you because it's critical. Faith comes by what?
Hearing.
Understanding comes by hearing. The beginning of wisdom is what? Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. To fear him, to honor him, to respect him enough to receive what he says, believe it, and act on it. Number one, knowledge that it's God's nature to heal. It is God's nature to heal. It is God's nature to heal. It's who he is. I often will do this, and I'll do it again today because it's my sermon. Dogs bark.
Right.
Fish swim.
Yep.
Birds fly.
Yes.
And God heals.
Amen.
Why do birds fly? That's their nature. Now, not to equate a created being with the one that has never been created, the one that has always existed, but the reality is he has a nature that does not change. And there are people say that the healings that took place in the Gospels, that was just there to prove God's divinity and prove that he is God so they would follow him. But I want to point out to you that it's always been in the nature of God to heal. Not at the appearing of Christ. It's always been in God's nature to heal.
Yes.
Listen to these scriptures in Genesis 20. Wow, there's a God heals in Genesis 20. In verse 17, then Abraham prayed to God and God healed Abimelech, his wife and his female slaves, so they could have children again. For the Lord had kept all the women in Abimelech's household from conceiving because of Abraham's wife, Sarah. Basically, Abraham lies to protect himself and Sarah. Abimelech's about to be judged over it, but he won't touch her. God gives him grace. And he basically says, God says he's going to do something for this man because he did not cross the line. And he prays and the man is healed. Say it, they're healed. Is God able? I said, is God able? Yes, he is able. Listen to this scripture in Exodus 15, 26. And he said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to me, the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do what is right in his sight, and will give his ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases, and the Hebrew is indicative of the permissive. I will allow none of these diseases upon thee, which I brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. We're not in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, or Acts. We're where? We're in Exodus. Your God is healing people and making available healing in Exodus. It's not about proving the divinity of Jesus. It's about revealing the nature of God.
Amen.
Now shout it out. He is
a healer.
He always will be
a healer.
And he was
a healer.
Say he's my healer.
He is my healer.
Say he is my healer.
He's my healer.
So when somebody says, oh, that stuff's passed away, God doesn't do that stuff. Well, how do you explain this scripture? This is where we get the exact phrase, Jehovah Rapha.
Yeah, yeah.
The Lord our God that what?
Heals.
That heals us. Do you understand his very name and the systematic understanding of his name proves that his very nature is to heal? Nah, God just uses doctors and nurses and hospitals. You know, let me help you out here. All healing is divine.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Now, I'm just really running through this material, but let me just pause here to say, all healing is divine. You see what people can do today to protect the health and sustain life. That is not the desire of the devil. The devil is a thief, a liar. Amen. He's a killer. He has no desire to see people's lives sustained and expanded upon. But God has every motivation. And I want to tell you that this business of you being condemned because you as a faith word person, a spirit-filled person, actually went to a physician or had a surgery or been in the hospital, that's nothing more than a modern-day Phariseeism. Let me help you out here. That person that's a doctor may have a female or a male form. They may have gone to this school or that school, but it's the anointing of God that's responsible for you being healed through them. That's the first point. The second point is when you go to a doctor or a hospital, you better use your faith. It's not, I don't have to use my faith when I see somebody institutionally for healing. You better use your faith. It may shock you that there are good ones and bad ones. Yes. And there are some that are higher trained than others. Amen. But when there is a healing, make no mistake about it, man never deserves the praise.
That's right. That's right.
God deserves the glory.
Amen.
Are you here today?
Amen.
Luke was a physician. Mm-hmm. Paul, not a physician, prescribed to his son Timothy that he should use a little wine for his stomach's sake. I'm not going to get into the wine alcohol thing today. It's not enough time here. But the point is, he gave him some direction to increase his health. Are you here today? Say, my God is the healer. Well, that looks like laying on of hands, an instantaneous miracle through the spoken word, or somebody wearing a white coat.
That's good.
I think they're getting it, but I'm going to come over here and preach because I want to make sure you get it. All healing is divine. It's from the Lord. There's no reason for condemnation. Smith Wigglesworth had a medical condition. Oral Roberts battled things. Brother Copeland's battled things. Brother Jerry Seville battled things. 1969, Gloria Copeland was in an auto accident where her head smashed against the dashboard. Y'all remember those seat belts back then? That's your mom's arm trying to smack you, keep you from smacking the head, right? Didn't work, did it? Explains a lot about our generation.
Yeah.
It really does. She hit that thing. Years later, a traumatic brain injury causing kinds of dementia, that kind of a thing. You know what we should do when our brothers and sisters are fighting things? Join the fight.
Yeah. That's it.
Yes. That's it. Amen.
You want to talk healing over those lives. You could scour the earth and the history of the body of Christ and not find a finer Bible teacher than Gloria Copeland. If I'm the devil, I'm going to attack.
That's true.
What's my point? Good people, we're people fighting things. That should cause us to have compassion and to fight with them. One man stood up in a Bible college in Springfield, Missouri, and he waved his hand. He said, I have it on a good authority that Brother Copeland went into ORU Medical Center and had a surgery. As if that was a big deal. Somehow they mistook the concept of faith and show. Faith is not a panacea bubble experience. It gives you the ability to win over everything thrown at you. And there will be things thrown at you. Instead of making little Pharisees out of that class, he should have raised his hand. I haven't a good authority that Brother so-and-so went to the hospital for something. You know what we're going to do? We're going to stop right now and pray for their welfare.
Amen.
Christian versus what? Pharisee.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Amen. But the bottom line is, he has always been a healer.
Yeah.
You don't even need the New Testament to find out that your God is a healer.
Yeah.
And that's the mistake they're making. Can I have a good amen today?
Amen.
Read this scripture to you from 15:26, where it says, Lord, is our Lord that heals us. We discover his name, Jehovah Rapha, and what God can do for his people way back in the early portions of scripture in the Pentateuch. Exodus 23:25, so you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread with your water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you. Lift a hand and say, oh God, take sickness away from our midst.
Oh, yeah.
We'll lift a hand again and say, Lord, take sickness and disease away from our midst. Out of your marriage. Out of your home.
Out of
your church.
Out of
your community. How about a massive wave of healing all over the nation for people will say, that is God's doing. Man doesn't have that kind of power. Amen. Those are powerful scriptures, and guess what? They're not in the New Testament. Say it, my God has always been a healer. That's the knowledge you need. Number two, the knowledge that healing is in the covenant. The sacred, irrevocable covenant between God and his people. Psalm 105:37, he brought them forth also with silver and gold coming out of Egypt, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Listen to what feeble means. It means lacking physical strength and health, especially as a result of age or illness. How can you have a couple million people and not one of them feeble? I mean, you can go inside McDonald's and there'll be five people there and two of them are feeble. Probably because of eating McDonald's. This is understanding that there is a benefit to being a part of God's covenant people. In Numbers 21:9, so Moses made a bronze snake and put it up on a pole. Then when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, they what? They lived. We're talking about God moving because of covenant with his people. Now they were complaining and backbiting and why did God bring us here? And Moses is an idiot and all this stuff. And all of a sudden, you know, the snakes show up and start biting and killing people. But God in his mercy did what? Provided a pole. Yeah. Amen. And when they looked upon it, they were healed. Yes. Now you and I had our own pole to look at. Yes. And we know who was up on that pole. Yes. It was Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you today, those that look upon him can still be healed just like they were in the Old Testament looking at a bronze snake. That's your God. You need to acknowledge that healing is part of the covenant. Deuteronomy 7:15, and the Lord will take away from you all sickness and will afflict you with none of the terrible diseases of Egypt which you have known, but will lay them on all those who hate you. In other words, there's a consequence to coming against God's people, but for you, what's going to happen is he's taking away the sickness and disease. This is not Mark or Matthew or John. This, again, goes back to the Old Testament. It goes back to the Pentateuch. Psalm 107, verse 20, he sent out his word and he healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Smile at somebody and say, healing is part of our covenant. Say it again, healing is part of our covenant. Now shout it out, healing is part of our covenant. God's not a man that he should lie. He is a truth teller. Psalm 103, you've heard this a couple of times. Bless the Lord, O my soul, verse 2, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And think of this, we're talking about a covenant scripture. And forget not all his benefits. The benefits of a covenant person.
Yeah.
The benefit of a covenant person includes forgiving all your iniquities. Mm-hmm. Who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit of destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. When you go to God and ask him for forgiveness, he doesn't say, I'll think about it. Raise your hand honestly if you expect forgiveness when you go to him. I would to God that we would all get that bold about healing. That we have the same level of confidence that he will heal as he forgives.
Yes.
Say covenant benefit. Sacred. Irrevocable. All your sins. How many?
All.
All your diseases. So is God able to forgive your sin?
Yes.
Is God able to heal?
Yes.
Yes. God of the Old Testament operating by covenant for the benefit of his people. And trust me, the people that were following Moses were 10 million times more ignorant than we'll ever be on these things. And yet God still provided for them. It's amazing, isn't it? The knowledge that healing is in the covenant. Number three, the knowledge that healing is in the atonement. Sandy, it's in the atonement. What does that mean? It's in the blood. Now, how many believe the blood was shed? How many believe the blood was shed for you?
Yes.
Are you covered today by that blood?
Yes.
Are you washed in that blood?
Yes.
Isaiah 53:4-5. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds, we are what?
Healed.
We're healed. I have an announcement to make. Healing is included in the atoning sacrifice of Christ.
That's right.
It's part of it. That's why when we receive communion with honor, we apply that just not to ourselves spiritually, but also to our bodies and our lives. So whatever it is you need, whether it is that touch in your body or that Psalm 103 that you need to be renewed in your youth, it is available because of that blood. The question is, do we have a lesser covenant or a greater covenant because of that blood? If God would do that under the Old Testament covenant, think what he would do for his people today.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it's a knowledge issue and revelation knowledge. All I can do is preach this. The Spirit of God will have to quicken it to your heart to receive and believe this. Say it with me, my covenant is better. If he was Jehovah Rapha then.
Yeah.
How could he be anything but Jehovah Rapha now? Glory to God. Listen to this. It's in the atonement. 1 Peter 2:24 from the Amplified Classic. He personally bore our sins in his own body on the tree as on the altar and offered himself on it that we might die. Cease to exist. By his wounds, he went on to say, cease to exist to sin and live to righteousness is what it says. By his wounds, you have been healed. By his wounds, we are healed. And what does Peter say? You were healed. The application of the blood is there. Jeremiah foresaw this in 33:6. He said, behold, I'll bring to it health and cure of the people of God, and I will cure them and will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth, abundance of shalom and truth. People who reject this, and there are people that do so, they say with a straight face, there is no healing in the atonement. The atonement only applies to issues of sin and relationship with God. Well, I want to ask you a question. How many of them walked with the Lord in the first century? None of them. They wrote their books and they did their television shows and they argue against the present day ministry of the Spirit of God and the healing power of God and the miraculous of God. They weren't there. But let me tell you what somebody that was there said of Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. Matthew was there. And in chapter 8, verse 14, the Bible says, when Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. He touched her hand and the fever left her. And she got up and began to wait on him. Now, some of y'all that have been healed, it's time for you to get up.
Yes. Amen.
Mm-hmm. She got up and began to wait on them. And when evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him. And he drove out the spirits with the word and healed all the sick. This was, listen to this, to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and bore our diseases. Not once does he mention the sin issue here. Matthew says this is totally included in the atonement. I'm going to go with Matthew and not a YouTuber. Matthew says that healing is in the atonement. That's good enough for me. Say it with me. The Word of God determines my knowledge about healing. Glory to God. He appropriated to healing what Isaiah said about the suffering servant that would go to the cross for you and for me. Aren't we blessed people?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Number four, the knowledge that healing is God's will. The knowledge that healing is God's will. Shout that out. It's God's will.
It is God's will.
That you be healed. Your mind will wander to circumstance and experience and religion and tradition and all kinds of things, but you've got to begin to put your mind in a vice, a Bible vice that refuses to believe anything but what God said about this.
Yeah.
Say, it's his will to heal.
It is his will.
In Acts 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Why would God be with him? Why would this be the mandate if it's not God's will? Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. Every disease and sickness among the people. He went about teaching and preaching and healing. Can I have an amen? Those with various suffering, severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, the paralyzed, and he healed them. The Bible says large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region, and across the Jordan followed him as a consequence of this. Why in the world is Jesus, who is the one that the Bible says, when you've seen the Father, you've seen me? Why would he say something like that and then demonstrate this? Because healing is in the atonement and it's his will. Say, God's will is that you be healed. But if you're getting your knowledge from somewhere else, it's difficult to believe God and press in on these issues. Matthew 18. Lord, if you are willing, says the leper, you can make me clean. Jesus then touches the man and says, I am willing. Be clean. And the man immediately was healed of his leprosy. If you said that today, what would he say to you? I am willing. Your knowledge to understand that your God has always been a healer, that the healing's in the covenant, the healing is in the atonement, and the healing of God is in his will. Now, what we do is we see something and go, well, you know, that didn't turn out that way, so it must not be God's will. You don't get your understanding from what you observe and see. You get it from what did God say. Shout this out. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I hear. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm only moved by what did God say. And what did he say? Watch my son. He went around doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Watch my son. He went around preaching, teaching, and healing. Watch my son. When someone asks him, if you're willing, he said, I am willing. And guess what? He is still willing. Why? So you live out your days and accomplish your purpose on this earth. If you don't believe it, believe this. You say, I don't know if I have a purpose. You have a purpose. And one of the proofs of it is that God has touched you and helped you in the past. Raise your hand if God's ever touched your body.
Yes.
You know he did something in your life.
Woo!
Why? Because he has a plan for your life, a purpose for your life. You're not here by accident. You know, the same devil that tells you it's not God's will to heal is the same devil that says you have no reason for being here. But you do. I say it in the spirit. By the time we're done with the factors that affect healing, you're going to go out here all through this town, and we're going to see miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle, and sign after sign after sign after sign, and healing and healing and healing. Amen?
Yes.
Because you're going to believe that you're part of this end time revival.
Amen.
Let me just release this in the spirit. You are not called to be a spectator in the last move of God. A church sitter instead of an active participant. We got plenty of people sitting in the body of Christ. What we need are some folks who aren't afraid to go to somebody over there in the meat section. And they can't believe the price of ground beef. And they're freaking out over the cost of steak. And they're infirm. And you go over there and say, well, guess what? I don't know about the steak, don't know about the hamburger, but I know a God whose will is to heal you in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Now, by the way, they won't charge you anything when you check out. It's free.
Yeah.
Purchased with the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
That's got to be your heart cry. God, use me. Say it. He's a healer.
He is a healer.
Always been a healer.
Always.
That's his nature. That's his covenant.
That's
his atonement.
That's his will.
That's one more scripture for you here. In Luke chapter 13, on a Sabbath, verse 10, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. Everybody say, 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, woman, you're set free from your infirmity. Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. And the Pharisees began to clap and rejoice. Listen to this language. Indignant. Angry without restraint. Did you imagine being angry that God delivered somebody from drugs or forgave them or healed them? or prospered them. That spirit that Rodney's talking about that gets mad at somebody who dares to believe and receive from God prosperity, they're indignant. Be careful, because you're identifying yourself. In the story between Judas there and Jesus and the woman who broke the perfume and anointed Jesus, you're either on Jesus' side or you're on Judas' side. Same thing here. You would think that men, holy men, would say, this is most outstanding. No. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue leader said to the people, there are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath. As if they were getting people healed those 6 days. The Lord answered him, you hypocrites, doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? You want to deny this woman a healing on the Sabbath, but you go out and take care of your animals on the Sabbath? Religion does not make sense. That's why you have to memorize it. Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath kept bound these 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath from what bound her? When he said this, his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing. A critical point here is, yes, it is in fact a narrative involving the Lord who represents his father and a descendant by faith of Abraham, who has not received her healing. And it'll be very difficult to receive a healing in that kind of environment. How many know they did not have healing seminars there in that synagogue? Galatians 3:7, understand then that those who believe are children of what? Of Abraham. Say, I'm a child of Abraham. This story reveals, number one, the source of infirmity is Satan, not your God. The source of infirmity is not your God. The source of your sickness is not your God. The source of your disease is not God. That is a lie from the pit of hell. The story also reveals that the Sabbath is for the restoration of man. Body, soul, and spirit. Not only was it not against the law of God, it was their tradition. It is, in fact, a great day to be healed. Yes. Now listen to me carefully. There are 6 other days to be healed. But I want you to understand something. You should, and I encourage you, every Saturday of your life to claim healing.
Yes. All right. Amen.
Because the provision, that anointing, is still there, even though the law is not there. Jesus is, of course, providing a Sabbath rest for you through your relationship with Him. But make no mistake about it, He still heals on the Sabbath.
Yes, He does.
Yes, He does.
Claim it every day.
Amen.
But keep this in mind, that this is something that God has provided for from the very beginning of the Scriptures. He cares about the restoration of His people. Amen. And understand this. The story reveals that healing belongs to the covenant people of God. And if you're born again, raise your hand if you're born again. You are a covenant child of God. You are a son or a daughter of Abraham. And Jesus said it is right for you to be healed. Let me translate, it is just for you to be healed. It satisfies divine justice for you to be healed over what's afflicted you. It's about time for y'all to have some justice.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Amen. Justice. Is it justice to be healed?
Yes.
Yes. These things are weightier than, oh Lord, if it be thy will. It is just because you are. Amen. Are you born again, Bart?
Yes.
It's just for you to be healed. Because you are, in fact, in the same standing by faith in right standing with God. That's what that really means. Amen. It's exciting. This story also reveals to us that the people who hear him gladly are absolutely enthused with it and couldn't get enough. Just give me four or five people in this congregation not afraid to go out and lay hands on the sick and watch and see what happens.
All right, all right.
Amen. You will see an influx like you've never seen before. Because healing is not only the children's bread, it's patently evangelistic.
Yes.
The supernatural is evangelistic. Jesus is like, how dare you deny a daughter of Abraham what is just and what is right. Now, if that was the case before the cross, how do you know it's especially true after the cross? Hey, he's already been to the cross. The stripes have already been applied. The death already took place. The blood was sprinkled on the altar. He has already ascended. He's on his way back. There needs to be a whole lot of healing between now and the second coming. There needs to be a whole lot of restoration between now and the second coming because it's just and it's right. The purpose is to deal with these factors that affect our receiving from God. We've got to make sure that our knowledge is correct. Say it with me. God, his nature has always been to heal. Say it, healing is in the covenant. Say it. Healing is in the atonement. Healing is his will.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know. That's the problem. Go back into your brain and be confused again. Or just stick to what God said. In other words, stand and fight from a position of the truth. And not your feelings, not your brain, not what you were taught as a child, but a conviction that the Word of God is the basis of the knowledge of what you believe. Does that make sense?
Amen.
As a pastor, I am prone to shoving the truth right back in the devil's face whenever he attacks people in this congregation. The goal of the enemy when you and I go through anything in life that contradicts the Word of God, that's an assault on the truth of God, the goal is to get you to come off of that Word. Yes. You see, you have a battle in some area and you don't get the victory at that particular time in that battle. The goal is not just to get you to lose that battle. The goal is to get you to turn loose of the Word of God so you'll lose every battle. So you know what you do? You throw it back in his face. Amen. For every person who has lost a physical battle in this congregation, let's go out and get 1,000 healed in the devil's honor.
Yeah.
And shove it right back in his face. So you know what? For the next 8, 9, 10 weeks, I'm going to shove it back in the devil's face.
Yeah.
By the time I'm done with y'all, every fiber of your being is going to scream, healed, 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 healed. Because it happens to be the truth of God's word.
Yes, it is.
Say, it's his nature.
It's his
covenant.
It's his covenant.
It's his atonement.
It's his atonement.
It's his will.
It's his will.
And said, I too
am
a child of Abraham.
Abraham.
Amen. Can you receive that?
Yes.
Come on, give him a hand clap and thank him for that.
Yeah.
Miss Kelly, you had something. I want you to share that. And most unusual thing, there you go, slipped my mind. The most unusual thing about this, and I came here years ago, one of the first series I taught on was healing. And I shared before that somebody got, really, really mad at me for preaching on healing. Well, you know, you can get mad at a preacher for preaching the gospel, but you're really mad at the message. It's gonna go forth whether you're mad at me or not. He will always find somebody faithful to preach the gospel. And Bert Fossum, who was tenured at Murray State in History Department, who took a job up in Michigan, They now live in Atlanta. He didn't get to talk to me after the service, but he sent me a little handwritten note. He goes, keep preaching on healing. He goes, that church needs it. Well, you know what? Every church needs it. And here's what, and I really wanted to hear from God on this because I don't want to make something long for the point of being long. But at the same time, faith does come by hearing. And there's some variable in all of our lives that we're lacking understanding about, and God wants to inform us and give us revelation. But here's what I heard him say as I started diving into this. He said over the course of these weeks, the people in this church, while the preaching is going forth, are going to be healed in their seats, receiving the word. We've been trained to have to do things a certain way. He is planning on moving through these seats and healing the people of God as our hearts open up to the word. And I believe that. Say it, I'm a believer.
I'm a believer.
You know, the Spirit says things known and unknown in your life. Does that make sense? He sent forth his word. And you know that word's still going forth. So healing's still going forth. Amen. Can you receive that today? Say it, while I'm sitting here. Over the next several weeks, as we talk about factors that affect healing, I'm receiving mine. Amen.
Praise God. Just a couple of things. When you were singing earlier, I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. The Lord just spoke to my heart so clearly, because a lot of times we think people, enemies, right? People. The Lord said that enemy of sickness, that enemy of disease. So we're going to raise a hallelujah in the midst of that. We're going to praise God in the midst of that, and we're going to confound the devil, because he's going to say, why are you praising the Lord? You've got this thing going on. Because we know that enemy has been defeated. That enemy has been defeated. The other thing I just wanted to share with you is that if someone came down here today for prayer and said, I just want you to pray that God would save me, we would not pray, oh God, if it be your will, save this person. Because we know, don't we? We know that God doesn't want anyone to perish. You've got to know, with that bulldog tenacity that he's talking about, you've got to know beyond any shadow of a doubt that just as it's God's will to save you, it's God's will to heal you and to prosper you. Jesus took it all in his body on the cross. You know, when somebody dies, their will doesn't go into effect until they die. It's their last will and testament. But here's the awesome thing. Jesus died so that his will would go into effect, but then he was raised from the dead because he's going to make sure that will's being carried out. So he didn't just die. He did die so that it would go into effect, but he's raised from the dead because he wants us. He wants us to receive everything that he died to give us. And you know another awesome thing? If you die in faith, number one, I believe you're going to please the Lord, because you're going to be here 1 second, and the next you're going to be in heaven. You will have died in faith. The Lord says that faith pleases God. But also, you've won. You've won. So really, there is no losing for the Christian. And so just know that. And so be encouraged in your faith. Be encouraged in your faith. It is absolutely God's will for you to be healed. Here in this earth, it's God's will for you to be healed. It's God's will for you to walk in health and healing and wholeness. It's God's will for you to minister that health and healing and wholeness to other people. Yeah. Amen. Because once you go to heaven, you can't get any other people saved. You can't get any other people delivered, filled with the Holy Spirit. And so it is definitely, beyond any shadow of a doubt, God's will for you to live, to fulfill the number of your days. And so just know that and take that by faith today. Know that just as it's his will for you to be saved, it's his will for you to be healed. And receive that with faith. Amen.